working with Flyer. When you just zone out, you put your music on and you just chat.
Excuse me, is this your taxi?
You can't mistake their anthology, a Girls Aloud commentary podcast from The Record Doctor.
Whenever you're ready.
Why, hello, my fellow Alouders, and welcome to July's showing of You Can't Mistake Their Anthology, the Girls Aloud commentary podcast brought to you by The Record Doctor. Adam Eve here as your friendly host, and I'm taking a monthly trip down memory lane, revisiting all of Girls Aloud's back catalogue and yammering on about it for this year podcast. Everything from their group achievements, TV specials, their autobiographies and solo careers. The plan is to continue covering it all over the coming months, and as we approach what will be the 20th anniversary since the birth of Girls Aloud, I have quite the episode for the 20th planned, and I'm actually going to need your help at home to put it all together, so do make sure that you keep an eye on the socials over the next couple of months as I slowly begin to piece that episode together. But of course, I am getting ahead of myself as bloody usual, because today it's all about episode 8 on the pod for the continued excitement of Girls Aloud's Off the Record. Before we get into the laughs and shenanigans of this month's episode, though, there's a few bits of news that I'd actually like to quickly mention before we rush into proceedings. The first being the most important to cover, and that is the upcoming Cancer Research UK charity event, Race for Life for Sarah, on Sunday, the 24th of July, 2022. This is a 5K race for, quote, everyone who wants to run in memory of Girls Aloud's Sarah Harding. Every pound you raise will support vital breast cancer research, end quote. Obviously, I cannot make it, and even if I was in the UK, my issues with my back and my spine just wouldn't allow me to even make it a full 1 kilometre, let alone five. But for those of you who are in the UK and can make it to London's Hyde Park at 11 a.m. this Sunday, July 24, please, please do so. I know that Cheryl, Kimberly, Nadine and Nicola will all be participating in the event, and it is so, so obviously for a very important cause, and one that has affected not only us directly as a fan base after Sarah's battle, but by many of us with our own loved ones as well. It's not too late to sign up to Race From Home either, and you can just directly donate cash to the cause too. At time of recording, and with thanks to the incredible Instagram account, Sarah Harding Addicts, I can confirm that already over £26,000 has been raised for this charity event. Absolutely huge. So I just want to wish everybody that's getting involved with the run all the love and all of my best wishes. Stay hydrated and take it easy on yourself along that track, okay? All right, I'm going to look out for you, all right? But if you want to know more, then your best bet is to head on over to the Race for Life website, which is raceforlife.cancerresearchuk.org. That's raceforlife.cancerresearchuk.org. Once loaded, just click through to the Sarah Race for Life link and you'll find all the additional information you need, including how to enter. Again, that's raceforlife.cancerresearchuk.org. I'd also like to mention that earlier this week, my stunning vinyl copy of Nicola's Behind Cinderella's Eyes has arrived, with thanks to the truly brilliant Plastic Pop Records, and oh my god, what a blessing it finally is to have this majestic album and all of its wonderful bonuses on such a gorgeously pressed wax set. I cannot commend Nicola or Plastic Pop Records enough. In particular, I have to send a special shout out to Plastic Pop for creating so many timeless pieces of vinyl. The Sophie Ellis Bextor collection is a sight for sore eyes and sounds incredible. And their new Wigfield 1 and 2 vinyl release is something I eventually have to purchase if I ever find work again. Anyway, the arrival of Behind Cinderella's Eyes on vinyl now completes my Nicola Roberts solo album collection, joining the Plastic Pop pressed cassette, the Behind Cinderella's Eyes CD, and of course the original album pressing. Really looking forward to covering this entire album and the Behind Cinderella's Eyes additional bonus tracks on the podcast in the coming months. But if you haven't got your own copy of the Plastic Pop reissues of Nicholas Cinderella's Eyes yet, head on over to www.plasticpop.co.uk and you'll see that they've got the Behind 2 CD set, both the Behind Deluxe Vinyl and the Standard Vinyl, and a choice of clear, glitter, or green-coloured cassette Cinderella's Eyes. Again, that's www.plasticpop.co.uk. Literally one of the greatest pop records of all time. Being given the reissue treatment it truly deserves, we love to see it. Now, this is not me being sponsored or doing an ad for Plastic Pop. This is just me enthusiastically sharing how much I love what they're doing, and especially so being in a loud podcast that worships this record. So if you haven't got your bloody copies yet, go do it now. You can multitask and listen to this in order, www.plasticpop.co.uk. Last month on the podcast, I talked about the first three episodes of Girls Aloud's six-part E4 docuseries, Off the Record. But of course, I wasn't alone. I sat down with my very special guest, beaming in from across the globe via satellite, Joe Anderton. We took you to Ibiza, New Zealand, and even dropped by Australia. But we've absolutely saved the very best for last. Now, before I do step into my doctor's TARDIS and take you all back in time for Off the Record Part 2, in Part 1, myself and Joe talked at length about Australian stylist to Girls Aloud during their Aussie promo tour, the poor, tortured Lauren. Well, I have some interesting news to share with you all in relation to Lauren from Off the Record, and it comes with thanks to Super Sleuth and ultra-supportive icon and listener Annie Arminian. So, after Part 1 dropped last month, Annie took to her Twitter to inform me that Aussie stylist Lauren, and partial verbal punching bag for Cheryl, is actually from a very, very prestigious family. I guess you could call that family our version of your royals. Yes, my friends. The Lauren from Off the Record is the cousin of none other than Danny and Kylie Minogue. I'm not even kidding. Danny and Kylie. Not even Danny and Kylie Bolton from Kath and Kim, but the Danny and Kylie Minogue. I couldn't believe it. But yes, my friends, this is actually the gospel truth. Wow, what a small world, right? So, Lauren, if you're listening, please come on the podcast to tell your side of the wardrobe fiasco story. We would love to hear it. And how bizarre is that? That because our co-host, the Danny and Kylie Minogue commentary podcast, This Is Disco with the wonderful Eliza Day, that this has come through and the worlds have collided. Crazy. Anyway, Lauren, again, hit me up. DMs are open. Send me an email. Let's get this episode happening. We'd love to chat to you. Oh dear. Well, now that I've made my way through all of my pre-notes for the month, let's finally dive into episode 8, Off the Record Part 2. Covering episodes 4, 5, and 6 with returning special guest, Joe Anderton. Episode 4 sees the girls head to Greece for some corporate shows. So the girls get there and they have a few days in between the first corporate show and the last corporate show. So Sarah pisses off home. She's like, fuck this, I'm not sticking around Greece with nothing to do when I could go home, have a couple of days with my mum. So that's what she does. Meanwhile, the other four girls are stuck in Greece with
the horror
tour manager and driver, Drew Lyle. Now, Drew comes up with the brilliant for reality television idea of taking the girls on a bit of a Greek excursion, not telling them what they're doing, so them obviously dressing in high heels. Drew decides to take the girls on an adventure to basically trek to the highest point in Athens. to look at, as Cheryl says, buildings. It's one of the greatest episodes in TV history, and it's just one after the other after the other. The highest point, I couldn't give a shit. Kimberly complaining about almost falling to her death. Does anybody know the hotel address? Excuse me, is this your taxi? Like, the whole thing is just a fucking fever dream. And so, so wonderful to watch. Oh my God.
Desperate not to lose any more girls to boredom, tour manager Drew hastily arranges a day of fun in an attempt to entertain the remaining four. Drew's big fat Greek adventure is a surprise, so none of the girls have a clue where they're going. Drew's mystery adventure is to take the girls up to the highest point in Athens to see the view. But a 2-mile trek uphill in high heels is not what the girls bargained for.
I don't think I can do it.
What would you sit here at one of these restaurants?
Cheryl isn't happy faced with her equivalent of Mount Everest.
Drew, are you taking the piss?
And she's climbing it in stilettos.
Come on.
Drew's determined to reach the top, despite an increasingly loud Cheryl.
Does anybody care that we're going to be at the highest point in Greece, seriously? Does anybody care?
Oh, my God.
Do you care?
No, but always are.
They look like Petrus. Drew! It smells of shit.
That's what it is. Actual shit.
Do the people not have the fucking poop and scoop rule here?
And things are landing and isn't everything. It's a shit. It's all a shit.
Oh, I'm dying.
Half an hour into their uphill struggle and the highest point doesn't seem to be getting any nearer. And Cheryl's still complaining.
We should have just stopped at that cafe.
Shall we go back?
It looked like the highest point to me.
It is a nice view, but...
A nice view of what?
Don't really care.
A nice view of houses and buildings.
Just...
So, you can see them on beautiful pictures.
I haven't seen anything through this. These shoes, why did somebody not warn me that we were trekking across the universe? Yeah, it's not that nice of a view.
Finally, our girl band makes it to the top to see what all the fuss is about. But a hot and bothered girls aloud are not impressed.
I was scared, you know, I could have slid off the edge of the stairs, plummeted to my death, just for the sake of this.
Who cares about being at the top peak of Greek? All you can see is buildings.
For real?
I'm really for real. I couldn't give a shit.
I've got so many quotes from this. Drew, are you taking the piss? Does anybody care that we're going to be at the highest point in Greece? Seriously? Does anybody care? And then Nicola goes, they look like murderers. Drew, it smells of shit. That's what it is.
Shit.
Actual shit. Do people not have the foot and poop and scoop rule here? And then later on, we should have stopped at that cafe. Look like the highest point to me. Nicola's a bit. A nice view of what? A nice view of houses and buildings. You can see them on beautiful pictures. And then she's still whining while Kimberly's like taking photographs. And then she's at the top. She goes, who cares about being at the top peak of Greek? All you can see is buildings. I'm really furious. I couldn't give a shit. And then on their way down, excuse me, is this your taxi? Do you know where the Semiramis is?
Nadine saving the day with the taxi ride from hell.
I love this taxi ride so much. Nicola,
oh my God,
he's a weirdo. Is this a joke? Open the window, for Christ's sake.
The way they're all like, oh, you can't take us all. And he's like, yeah, six person. Like, yeah, six person. Oh my God.
I don't know whether they put the song on the radio in post. It was actually playing there. But it's like a lyric about, like, my fate is in your hands. And I'm like, that's too perfect. Like,
oh my God.
Their fate is in the hands of this weirdo, really miserable looking taxi driver.
I also loved as well when, I think it was Cheryl suggested the Drew getting the boot.
Yes.
And Drew was like, quote, I'm not getting in the fucking boot. You're having a laugh.
I think my favorite bit is Nadine pops her head out.
Yes.
Like, imagine if I came in and I was just a mick.
I love that. And it's prompted, of course, by Nicola saying to her, watch out, you'll get your head chopped off.
That's the least of their worries.
Insanity. And then, of course, you got Cheryl telling everybody to close their mouths and to stop breathing because they were all about to make her feel physically sick. It was just...
It's like one of the worst days of her life ever.
Quote, this basically has got to be one of the worst days I've ever had. And she's just like nodding with like this, like the look on her face is just,
where do you reckon it sits on Cheryl's worst days ever now? Because there's like the American X Factor, malaria.
Anyone know the hotel address?
None of girls allowed know how to get back or even where the hotel is. But resourceful Nadine spotted a local cabbie.
Excuse me, is this your taxi? Do you know where the Semiramis is?
Where are you going?
The Semiramis Hotel?
It's in the
suburbs.
Semiramis and Kivis, yeah.
Wait, it doesn't work.
Do you want to get in his car?
I know.
The girls have no choice but to bundle into the lawn taxi and hope that the curious cabbie can get them back to their hotel.
You can't take us all there. Huh? Yeah. Six presents.
Okay. What the fuck
is he going to take as long as you can? Come on, that's a bit
loud. It's not. This is a joke.
Open the window, for Christ's sake!
He didn't even know where we're going. He didn't even confirm he knew what was going on.
Look at how glamorous it is being on Girls Aloud.
Our glamorous pop stars are used to luxury transport, and Cheryl's got a new complaint.
This basically has got to be one of the worst days I think I've ever had. Being deadly serious. Could everybody point their mouths in opposite directions? Because if I get a smell of one breath, I'm going to be sick.
I'm blocking the one.
What do you do? Get your head trapped on?
No, imagine if I came in and it was just a neck.
To make up for the wonderful Greek adventure that Drew had taken the girls on, he makes it up to the girls by organising a night out at a Greek taverna with the dancers of the Girls Aloud tour. And they go out and cause, you know, quite a ruckus. And obviously they're coming back on the bus. And there's a scene where Nicola and one of the dancers are singing Cheeky Girls.
You are the cheeky boys. We are the cheeky girls. You are the lucky cheeky girls. Yeah, 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 yeah. We are the cheeky boys. We are the cheeky girls. Lucky cheeky girls.
This is why I do not drink, people.
On camera.
This is why I do not drink, people.
That whole scene, my favourite thing of the whole scene is Nicola and the dancer going nuts, and then you can hear Drew on the side, off to the side of the camera going, on camera, like trying to alert them to stop acting like dickheads because they're on camera.
Yeah. Also, the most 2000s thing ever is before they get on the bus, they're walking through the streets, and I think Anthony Kay is the dancer, and he's singing Sound of the Underground.
Yeah.
And like he's got his trousers like almost around his ankles. And, like, is that not the most 2000s thing? You know, apart from Girls Aloud being together, it's just men having their trousers like gravity defying and their top man boxers on show.
Oh my god. Nicola's then off to go back home to Liverpool to visit her family, and first up, Nicola driving on the way home, talking very, very calmly about how long it takes her to drive from London to Liverpool. And then out of nowhere, the slight signs of road rage peep through when Nicola just like screams basically at this car that's obviously cut her off or something like that. And then like realizes that she's done it on camera and she's like, oh, sorry.
It's been times and I've literally finished work at 7 o'clock, drove home and had to be back again for like 12 o'clock the next day. And people always say, it's like, oh, can you be bothered driving and blah, blah, blah. Do you know, sometimes it only takes me 2.5 hours to get home and it's nothing. You know, it's like, well, are you going to wait or what? Sorry. You know, and it's nothing. It's like a couple of hours. Just do that, getting in and out the bath or washing and drying in your hair. Do you know what I mean?
I love how before that as well, there's random shots in black and white. As if it's making some really like big serious document about someone who's died, and it's just Nicola talking about wanting to go home and see your family. Yeah. And they're playing like, and they're playing like Nobody But You, where the B-side instrumental theme, which is quite like sort of like a kind of like a sad song, but like a little bit, you know, morose. And trying to make out be this whole thing. It's just like, she's going home to see your family. Honestly, the choices.
And then, of course, she goes to see her brother play soccer with his school soccer team, I guess. And, of course, the iconic line, if anyone gets mud on this white coat, I swear to God, I'll kill yous. To a group of, like, what, eight-year-old children that have just finished playing, like, a simple game of soccer in the mud.
If anyone gets mud on this white coat, I swear to God, I'll kill yous.
If anyone gets mud on this white coat, I swear to God, I'll kill yous.
Then we go back to Nicola's childhood home, and we get to meet her family, see some home movies where Nicola proclaims, look how fat I am, and then imitates herself banging on the ground as she's walking. Anyway, we'll move on. And then after that, big sister Nicola taking her little brothers out to lunch and to go to the playground. And Nicola's talking about how, you know, she loves the fame, she loves the lights and, you know, performing and everything, but it's not the be-all and end-all of life. And that she wants to keep her relationship with her brothers and not have them, you know, be like, oh, she's never around and that kind of thing. And they sort of go into that whole struggle of fame, because beyond that, later on in one of the episodes when Cheryl goes back home, she sort of has a similar experience, except her nephew doesn't want to go to her. So there's this whole battle between a lot of the girls about, you know, being these superstar legends that they are and wanting to still be the same girls that they were before the band. So the next day, girls head off to appear on Fifth Gear. Now, the Fifth Gear producer says that he is a big fan. I very much doubt that he would have been by the end of the day. This had disaster written all over it in the first place. Just all five of them driving a car each was bad enough. But then as soon as Sarah even suggested driving the Ferrari, it was like game over. I knew this is not going to end well. And guess what? It didn't. Fucking hell. So first of all, like, the girls all take their speed around the track. And one of my favorite bits is everyone's like kind of like really excited, and then they show Cheryl and she's just absolutely nonplussed about it whatsoever. She's like, yeah, you know, fine, whatever. Gets in, drives, and gets out. She's like, yeah, it was fine because I was in control. It just, it,
if
magic.
If you're playing the drinking game, that still counts as an excuse to drink. That still counts as whinging.
Fair enough. That is true.
Although I feel like it's episode 4, and I feel like people are probably on the floor. God, right. By this point, if they're playing the drinking game.
Oh, so they all do the drive, and Sarah wants to drive the Ferrari. Now, they stupidly agree. First of all, I would just love to know, how did she not see that heaving black car right in front of her, and then she just went to keep driving off like nothing had happened? And then after they readjusted her, she did drive off like nothing had happened. I mean, this 2 minutes of TV encapsulated so much of why we fucking love Sarah and why she was so special to so many of us. An absolute wild card who lived to live life. It was just, it's such a great scene to watch back on now. I just find it so wonderful.
I love her excuse when she gets out of the car and just goes, it's not an easy drive. No shit, Sarah. But honestly, do you know what Fifth Gear is?
Oh, I do know.
Yeah, it's basically, obviously Top Gear was massive at the time, and Channel 5 did their own version. But it's on Channel 5, so I'm pretty sure more people have watched Girls Aloud Fifth Gear through this than have actually watched Fifth Gear. Like, having said that, if anyone at Channel 5 wants me to come on as one of their talking heads, I am available. There is a bit where Jason Plato says, Sarah is without a doubt a proper nutcase. you know, in a nice way, but
he said it very endearingly.
Yeah.
And that's the way I choose to take it on board now, especially as well.
She was our nutcase.
She was. Asked as guests alongside Mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, in an effort to help promote London in China, despite four of the girls themselves hailing from the north and Nadine coming from Ireland, I don't know what it is about this whole segment, but something just felt really off from the get-go, and you can see the culture shock swarm in on the girls as the episode rolls on. I mean, it would be silly of us not to address it. Quote, they eat like cat and dog and stuff. It's not exactly a soundbite that's aged very well. So from the get-go, the tone is set and it's not a very good one, to say the least. So the girls perform at this showcase, and before all that, there's this lead-up that involves the Chinese Idol winner at the time, who obviously had like a mass, you know, millions upon millions of following, who was also a part of this London-China weird exchange program thing. And everybody was obviously there for the Chinese Idol winner, and nobody had even heard of Girls Aloud.
There's a bit just before the performance where Sheldon did the talking, and Sheldon's like, it's so unnecessary. And Nadine says, the sign check or the fact we're here? And Sheldon just goes, both.
There was this whole idea of, like, you know, that this was an opportunity for them to break the Chinese market. But, I mean, it was pretty obvious from the minute that they touched down that that would not be happening.
The voiceover says billions of potential new fans. And I think after their performance, they would be lucky to get one new fans.
Well, the girls perform at this showcase, and it's something that Nadine insists on camera is the worst performance of their career. But it is something that seems to go down well with Ken and the London officials.
Oh, but you know, there's the one politician who says that the highlight was Girls Aloud, which is proof you can never trust a politician. Like, oh, you know, hand on my heart, but like, but you watch the performance, and for this, it's meant to be this massive, you know, China-London thing, but it's the most basic staging. Like, right. Even my local karaoke bar has, like, some neon strips in the background. It's just like, it's like an Amdram stage you have in, like, your drama class in school.
Right.
The Chinese Idol. I wonder if they had like a massive stage, and then the Girls Aloud stage is just like in the corner of the room, and it's just like,
oh god,
a plank of wood painted black and just like stapled down. There you go.
Oh dear.
At least one of the girls likes it in China. Is the quote from Nadine where she goes, "My first impressions of China is that it's really nice." And was he showing me?
See, I love doing things like this. I love going abroad, going different places, and, you know, seeing all different things and seeing all different walks of life. So, and this is a total culture shock from London. My first impressions of China have been it's a really nice place. Was he shouting at me?
One thing that I do really, really love from the China trip, though, all of Sarah's beautiful moments. In particular, in the car, when she's enthusiastically learning Chinese words and phrases, and also in the hot tub, when she really takes pride in the fact that they've been asked to be ambassadors less than 4 years into their career. So, so incredibly sweet and very bittersweet watching now. So the rest of this episode focuses in on Kimberly at her home in London, and Cheryl visiting her dad and stepmum. And one thing that I guess I found quite bittersweet was a quote that came from Kimberly talking about the future and saying, quote, "I don't like thinking about life after the band." And I just thought it was very telling of the time as well, because there was all that mounting pressure on whether they could continue to be as successful as they had been all this time, and as we'd seen through the documentary already, like, even within their own camp. But not much ground is really covered with the Kimberley stay, it does focus more on Cheryl's visit back home to see her dad and family, and also to see Cheryl get pissed on by the family dog.
You're boisterous, Billy. Yes, you are. Joe, this one, freaking. Sherry's weighing, he's weighing on us, he's weighing on us. I do not believe what that dog, I can't believe it. It has pissed all over us.
So, look, let's look at it this way. Between the vomit in Sydney, the shit at the Peak of Greek, and now the piss back home. I mean, it has not been a very good series for our poor Cheryl, has it?
She's exploring all the kinks. He's so, weaning on us. I don't believe it. He is pissed all over us.
Oh, my God. And then it just goes from bad to worse for poor Cheryl. She goes into the kitchen because she wants to help the family dry some dishes. They've already been dried. Cheryl's fuming. She's dried all the dishes, she says. Now it's going to look like I don't do anything on camera.
Are these dried?
I've dried every dish in this house, so don't come and give me the credit.
No, you know what? You can all piss off. I offered, and I won't offer ever again. No, it's all right. You keep your own driving.
That big round building.
I can't believe it. She's dried all the dishes. Okay. Now it's going to look like I don't do anything on camera.
It's just beautiful.
I like to think that Lauren, the Australian stylist, snuck into Cheryl's house and sneakily did all the dishes to make Cheryl look bad.
The revenge of Lauren.
I've just got this fan fiction of just Lauren. Lauren sent the tweet longer when they announced the split.
Oh my God.
Lauren made sure Untouchable went to number 11. Lauren, if you're listening, please go on and tell your side of the story.
I would love to chat to you on the podcast, Lauren, please.
This is no longer a Girls Loud podcast. This is a Lauren podcast.
How did it get to the point where Cheryl was told that she could wear something of her own, but Nadine didn't have to? They all had the same amount of time, Lauren. Oh, God. Anyway.
Lauren for I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, my God.
2023.
We move on to episode 6. And episode 6 is sort of like just this, it's a bit of a mixed mongrel of an episode, to be honest. It's the chemistry tour rehearsal build-up. Nadine missing her flight for rehearsals because she'd spent the weekend shopping in New York, which very on brand, I always felt. There's a scene where Cheryl and Ashley are walking their dogs and the poop and scoop rule returns for Cheryl once again. She just can't seem to get away from dog shit this whole series. Then, of course, I think the biggest point for this episode for me was Nadine being very open about how unhappy she was about the documentary, which, of course, is something that rears its head for Ghost Hunting and the Passions of later down the road. But it was interesting that this 100% was the straw that broke the camel's back for Nadine in regards to wanting to do TV or reality or things like that. And we know that scenes were shot with Jesse Metcalf that were edited out before the series went to air at E4. So just a little something that's interesting to note about the series. But I thought Nadine talking quite openly about how unhappy she was really great television. It was fairly obvious that she didn't want to do it.
Yeah, she says she thinks some parts of the documentary are funny, but she doesn't think anyone's really been portrayed as themselves, which certain members I disagree with there.
I don't know what you're talking about, Joe. I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm just talking absolute shite, I am. But and then Nicola kind of follows it up. She talks about how they'll look back at like the DVD years down the line. Obviously, they did when they met up with Sarah.
Right.
Like, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when they all got together and actually watched it. And whether looking back, they do think they were portrayed as themselves, and whether they find these funny bits as funny as we do. I don't think anyone finds it as funny as we do.
Well, I don't think they're aware of how iconic almost every single thing that they said in that show was and still is.
Do you reckon Cheryl called up Lauren and just apologized?
I'm so sorry.
Lauren, I'm so sorry. Do you know what? Actually, your clothes look great at the time. I don't know what I was on about. Do you know what? I was just like, I was in a bad mood and I took it all out in years and I'm really sorry. So You can have a signed copy of my album, Only Human, because I am only human.
As the five starlets continue their battle through the fickle world of pop, they give their take on what it's been like being girls on film.
Hi there.
It's been really hard being followed around all the time.
You don't realise how much you swear until we watch some of them back and we're like, oh my God, that's not good.
Look at him, he's right copy twat.
Back, are you?
Watching myself how I go on normally. I can't bear it.
So who looks like the dickhead? Not you.
I was never happy about doing the documentary in the first place, and I'm still not really.
You in that bacon camera.
Sometimes it's been hard having cameras following us around, because there are certain times where you want to be a little bit more private.
Stay, fuck off!
I think when we all get a little bit older, it'll be nice to have, like, on a DVD or whatever, just to look back on it and say, oh, that's where, remember when we went there?
I was joking about the hat!
You can really get a sense of what it's like for us five together and the relationship, you know, between us all, and the fact that we do all get on really well. It's not some kind of act that we like to try and put on for people.
You see the glow?
I think some parts of the documentary have been funny. How glamorous it has been on Girls Aloud.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's really being portrayed as themselves.
Just have a look at that shot.
No, we cannot use any footage of today.
In a way, this was good for me to show that I'm not that bad and I'm not like how my reputation is. But at the same time, people at home have now got an informed decision whether or not you're an awesome.
I've got spew up my trouser.
Overall, it's been a brilliant experience.
Do not film me now!
It will be a brilliant thing when we look back on it. It's been good, and although it's been hard, it's been worth it.
One of the biggest moments in this episode, though, is the boardroom meeting between the girls and management as they discuss rehearsals for the upcoming tour. Things get a little heated, and just as you think the cameras are going to keep rolling through something that they perhaps shouldn't be, the girls' team signals to cut the cameras, and they go down. This really lines up with what Nadine was saying earlier about being unhappy doing the documentary and that she thought that nobody was really represented fairly. If that heated discussion in the boardroom had continued to roll, it just wouldn't have done any of them any favours. So amidst all of the chaos and the constant cameras in their faces, it was actually really nice to see the people looking after the girls still looking out for them, regardless of the fact that reality cameras were rolling. Very sweet.
I think my favourite quote from this episode is Nadine and her mammy, Lillian, they're having lunch, and Lillian goes, well, when I was 15, I went to this fortune teller, so she told me that I would have three girls and then my middle daughter was going to be famous. So Nadine actually grew up believing that she was going to be famous. And at the end of the day, you're just singing a song. You're not saving someone's life. Which is such a parent thing. It's like, you'd be really successful, but also what you do is completely meaningless.
Right.
And on the flip side, you got Sarah's mum, who is just lovely, I think. But it's just kind of so that kind of follows the kind of contrast that Nadine's mum is just like, yeah, you're like a firefighter or nothing. You're not a policewoman. You're not a doctor.
Because at the end of the day, all you're doing is singing a song. It's not
saving the world.
As you say, saving someone's life. I think someone that would save someone's life, then they should be famous. But, I mean, you're just singing a song.
The episode sees home visits for Kimberly and Sarah, offering up a lot of sweet and sincere frames with both interacting with their respective families. I've got to send a massive shout out to Kimber's iconic sister at the dinner table and, of course, to Sarah's wonderfully warm mum. This was another really, really bittersweet section to watch. Obviously, Sarah's going home and spending time with her mum. Very, very bittersweet looking back on that. And hard to watch, in a sense. And obviously, I'm finding it hard to talk about.
There's a bit of Kimberly's out on the town, and I'm hoping fellow kind of British reality TV addicts will back me up on this. There's a guy who kind of jumps in front of the camera while Kimberly's walking, and he's all like, yeah, guys, yeah, just a really good shot, yeah, yeah, something like that. I'm pretty sure that's Leon from the 2011 series of The Apprentice. So if people are watching it back and they're not too drunk from the drinking game, if any kind of, yeah, reality TV obsessives, anyone wants to confirm that or not? Leon, if you're listening. Yeah, it's the same bit where Kimberly goes, so I'm going to get my Joel Babington on. Yeah, people shouting girls loud and shy. You just want to knock them out, but you can't.
Oh, people shout girls loud and shy. You just want to knock them out, but you just carry on walking anyway.
Adam, did you notice during these rehearsals, there's a bit where Cheryl says, I don't want to sing, I just want to dance, which is almost the chorus to Something New.
Ah, right. Oh.
Again, just Brian and Miranda just watching this documentary for single ideas.
Ideas.
Even though I'm pretty sure Keisha wrote that line, as was proven a couple years ago. But yeah, it's kind of weird. Just, there you go. Yeah, there's a bit where Cheryl says the girls, they've all kind of made a pact to not slag each other off in their biographies. And then she says, no reunions. And she, 30-odd year old, I'm just a love machine. Nah.
Right.
That scene did not age very well at all.
It did not age very well, no.
Yeah. Didn't age as badly as some of the stuff they said in China, but yeah. They've all slagged each other. Well, they haven't all slagged each other off. But.
Different ballpark, but still hasn't aged well.
Definitely some slagging off. And I'm pretty sure Cheryl was how old when they did Love Machine on the 10 tour? 31, 32? We'll have to fact check that. I'm not a journalist or anything. There's a really nice quote in this episode from Peter Lorraine, little cutie Peter Lorraine. And he's talking about them playing in arenas, and, you know, talking about how far they've come. Obviously, this is amongst all the split rooms. Mm-hmm. And he just says about the arenas, that's fucking good, you know? Like, oh, it's like a little proud daddy Peter.
One of the best things about this series, or post this series rather, is hearing about, which we briefly spoke about when the girls revisited the series themselves with Sarah, and it was just nice to hear them talking about experiencing everything that, you know, that we have so well memorized and is such a huge part of the culture and a part of our worlds. And I think them wrapping up the story, I guess, in a way, by sitting together and watching that and reminiscing and just being on their own. And I think that's a beautiful way to sort of end off the record, the off the record episode, with the thought of them all sitting together, enjoying the series in each other's company.
Like experiencing like the highs and the lows as well. I think that's what makes it a documentary that stands the test of time. It's not just all fluff, like not naming their names, but the 10 year anniversary documentary is kind of a fluff piece, but yeah, totally. This is like the real deal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Twitter user Haunted Radiator Maps and
Amazing
Stuff said that they described this docuseries to their dad as a cross between watching The Monkees and Spinal Tap, which I thought was pretty fucking spot on.
They're not wrong.
My darling Joe, it has been an absolute honour and a pleasure to have you on for this wonderful episode celebrating Off the Record. It has been so much fun. Thank you again.
Thank you, Adam, my dance floor darling.
Oh, it has been such a blast going through this wonderful series with you and listening to you do all the wonderful quotes. And yeah, it's just wonderful. And I'm looking forward to having you back in a couple of episodes' time.
No spoilers,
but we've got a few episodes planned together in the pipeline over the next few months. So you just have to keep an eye on the socials, my friends. But speaking of socials, Joe, where can all of the wonderful people listening at home find you on the internet?
Ooh, I would say you could find me on Twitter at JoanneTweet, but I haven't actually used Twitter in about a year and a quarter, right, maybe. And let me tell you, it has been so freeing.
I can imagine.
I highly recommend, although I do kind of get all the memes and things, they kind of come to Instagram stories, but like a week later, but that's fine. But yeah, Instagram is probably my main social horn. I think it's JoeNDM91, so it sounds like Joe not doing much. It's been like my thing on PlayStation for donkey's years, and I've kind of brought the brand over. And I technically am a freelance journalist, so if anyone wants me to write about 2000s gay nonsense, slide into those DMs and we can sort something out. I love how I'm just pouring myself out.
I love it. I love it. I should start doing that at the end of the episodes too. I'm still not fucking working. I haven't worked for 2 years.
Well, I know that's bad, but at the same time, you've been bringing us so much incredible content.
Oh.
If you haven't listened to Adam's Kylie and Danny podcast, this is Disco with the wonderful Eliza Day. I highly recommend it. It's great. Your enthusiasm, the two of you, is so infectious. And the interview you did with Danny for her birthday last year is something all pop fans need to listen to.
Thank you, Joe. That means a lot. It was it's always so much fun recording with Eliza, and the Danny interview was otherworldly to experience.
Oh, it was. I can only imagine the content. But yeah, I'll get my check for that in the promo in the mail. Thank you.
As for me, don't forget that the podcast is on both Twitter and Instagram, all one word, at Aloud Podcast. There's also some great merch that you can get from the official website and the Record Doctor merchandise store at Threadless, which is over at therecorddoctor.threadless.com. Lots of podcast merch. Think you'll really love it. Go check it out. It all supports me. I'm not working at the moment because of my back crap, and any t-shirt or merch sales or support that comes in through the Mixcloud Select program, like, it's hugely, hugely appreciated. You can also, however, speaking of Mixcloud, you can also find me on my fortnightly Mixcloud radio show, The Record Doctor, now with a monthly Balkan Top 50 countdown that sees me joined by my new co-host, the wonderful Natalie Brisky, all the way from Sydney. You can follow the Balkan Top 50 on both Twitter and Instagram, at Balkan Top 50, BalkanTop50. All one word, and that's the number 50. You can also listen to the countdown over at the Record Doctor's Mixcloud page, mixcloud.com/The Record Doctor, or by visiting the Balkan Top 50's official website, www.balkantop50.com. Mixcloud, I guess a lot of people don't really know about it. Mixcloud is a service that's sort of like podcasting or radio shows and DJ sets that actually pays the artists that all of the DJs, such as myself, play on their shows. It's a really, really good platform that a lot of people don't know about. You can listen to shows for free using a web browser, and you can also listen to the shows by downloading the Mixcloud app onto your smartphone, whether you've got an iPhone, Android, whatever. And it's just a really good platform. I'd love to see more people coming over to the radio show every fortnight. So once a month, as I said, the Balkan Top 50 with Natalie, and then once a month, I'll be doing like a dance classics episode or an artist feature on Madonna or something like that. So again, mixcloud.com/The Record Doctor, and also www.balkantop50.com. And you can also follow me on both Instagram and Twitter over at The Record Doctor. Also over at ADEMEVE on Twitter, that's at Adam Eve, and ADEM.EVE, that's at Adam.Eve on Instagram. And of course, there's the Danny and Kylie Minogue commentary podcast I co-host with the wonderful Eliza Day called This Is Disco, at This Is Disco, all one word, and again on both Twitter and Instagram. More information on all of those shows, as well as some great podcast merch, as I said, over at www.therecorddoctor.com. That's www.therecorddoctor.com. I will, of course, be back with an all-new episode of the podcast in the final week of August. I'll be joined by a brand new special guest dialing in all the way from the other side of the world as we take a deep dive into the sound of Girls Aloud. Mm-hmm, yep, the girls' very first ever greatest hits collection from 2006, and the bonus tracks as well. And because it just didn't really deserve its own episode, I'll be lumping Walk This Way into the mix as well. Oh dear. More information coming in about a fortnight's time. I'll post the date over at the socials, but as I said, it will be in that final last week of August that it will be dropping, definitely. the official date coming over at the socials at Allowed Podcast. But until then, a massive thank you to you all for listening along this and last month. The feedback was really, really special to see, and I'm just so glad that you've all seemingly enjoyed Joe and I's off-the-record adventure. It's been an absolute treat and such a joy. A massive thank you once again to Joe for joining me on this exciting two-parter. Joe will be back, as we said, on the pod next year. We did say no spoilers, but I will give you one little spoiler. He's going to be coming back at the start of the year when we finally get to the Centurions 1 and 2 episode. Oh, I told you I'm covering everything. So yeah, keep your eye on the socials. But anyway, until next month, this is Adam Eve signing off. See you later, folks. Bye.
Bye.
You Can't Mistake Their Anthology is written, edited, and produced by Adam Eve for The Record Doctor.